After having what can only be described as a disappointing offseason last year, the Giants are going to go into the 2022-2023 offseason needing to do a better job, or else there's going to be some serious questioning by the media and by the fans about the direction of this team. So what is my ideal offseason for the Giants coming up? How would I grade their trade deadline? All of that and so much more next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and on the show we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And where we start is jumping right into today's mailbag episode. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted on questions on Twitter. Probably a new record, just a ton of questions, so thank you. The Captain says, what is your dream offseason free agency for the Giants? And sadly, here in early August, we are already talking about the upcoming offseason. That's how disappointing this season has been, and really the last month or so has been for the Giants. And like I said, I think they need to do more. This is going to be a very important offseason, because if they just continue to kind of kick the can and make small little additions, platoon players and just non-impactful additions, then the criticism that is already there now is going to get much louder, including from me. So the question, what is my dream offseason for the Giants? I think it begins and ends with Aaron Judge. I want to see Aaron Judge come to the San Francisco Giants. I think you can lure this guy here. A lot of times you can't, because they just don't want to play here for whatever reason. But because of the Giants' connection with Judge, he grew up a Giants fan. He's done some interviews and he's got Giants posters, Buster Posey jersey hanging up behind him. He is like the obvious answer to a lot of the problems with the Giants. And one of those problems is just simply appeal. They just don't have a lot of appeal. And a guy like Judge would give them an instant face of the franchise that they just don't really have right now. And so, yeah, I want to sign Aaron Judge. Here's the thing, though. And for all the criticism, deservedly so, that Farhan Zaidi is taking right now, what he hasn't done is like put them in a crippling position in terms of the year-to-year payrolls. And what I mean by that is that they are in a position where they can kind of reset now. The question is, will they? If they continue to just be in that position of flexibility but never utilizing that flexibility to their advantage, then who the heck cares about it? But they haven't, you know, if you had given a big contract to Nick Castellanos, for example, that would be looking like a bad big contract already. And there's some other big ones from last offseason that already aren't looking so good. But the Giants don't have that. For example, like they made this big addition of Carlos Rodon. And while we'll get to him in a second about my ideal offseason, that contract is going to be up at the end of the season, assuming he opts out. And so if he opts out, which is my assumption, and the only reason he wouldn't is if there's an injury or just he completely falls apart in the last couple months, if he opts out, the Giants will only have about $66.5 million committed to next year's team. And so even if you're pessimistic, as I think is more and more justified in being, about what the payroll is going to be moving forward, it's been about $165 million each of the last few years. 2020 it was going to be, but the COVID short season changed the outlook and Posey opting out changed the whole thing. But even if you're at $165 million, say, that's still $100 million in 2023 spending that it would take to get you back to the level that they're at now. So this isn't a precise number because this isn't factoring in arbitration raises, and certain players like Logan Webb will be arbitration eligible for the first time, and this isn't accounting for that. So, you know, plus or minus, I don't know, call it $75 million, maybe on the high end, committed for 2023. So you can add a $35 million a year judge to your, well, let's just say now it's 66 and a half. So you pay judge $35 million a year over 7 years. And you're only at $101.5 million committed. And so when people say the Giants, they won't make these big signings, there's no reason that they couldn't. Even if they had this year's payroll or last year's payroll, it's just about they have had a lot of money committed to players who aren't worth what they're paying them. And some of the money that the Giants have committed, even for just this year, like they're paying Brandon Belt $18.4 million and getting almost nothing from him. They're paying Evan Longoria $19.6 million, although then the Rays are sending $5 million back, and so it's more like 14.6, but they're not getting much from him. And so there's a lot of money just kind of freed up each and every year. And then if we look at 2024 commitments, they're at $14 million, and then 2025 commitments, $0 committed. And so they've got this completely clean slate, kind of like they had last year, and they just didn't spend all that well, I would say. But it happens again. So anyway, I'm signing Aaron Judge for whatever it takes. And it would probably take about $35 million a year over 7 years or so. It comes out to close to $250 million. You're signing him into his mid to late 30s, which is a concern. But hey, I don't care right now. I think that the time has come. It's time to be a little more aggressive. I also want them to bring back Wilmer Flores. This is not an earth-shattering move, but Flores has been a good player for the Giants and a very useful player, can move around. I don't want him to be an integral, like essential part of the middle of their lineup, but I think as a role player, he's valuable and I want them to bring him back. I also would like them to sign, I mean, this is my dream, right? Trey Turner would be a dream, or Carlos Correa or Xander Bogaerts. I worry about the third base position. I don't think any of those three are particularly likely, given that Brandon Crawford is still under contract for next year, which looks like a mistake, giving him that extension, to be honest. But in my dream, I mean, my dream is you get Trey Turner and Aaron Judge. Also, I want Brandon Nimmo. I think Brandon Nimmo and Aaron Judge would give you two like everyday outfielders, and you wouldn't have just this mix of guys who, frankly, they're not performing well enough to justify them being key parts of next year's team. When you talk about Mike Yastrzemski or Lamont Wade Jr., or, I mean, Austin Slater probably deserves it. So you can maybe have one platoon in the outfield as opposed to at all three spots. And so Brandon Nimmo, really good fit. And I think the Giants probably feel similarly. And then here's the beauty of when I said, okay, they have only $66.5 million committed for next year. The beauty of that is that it includes, it would be one thing if it's like you've got $66 million committed to two players, and so you've got to fill out a whole roster. But their starting rotation is mostly set counting that $66.5 million. But again, it's not counting Logan Webb's arbitration, which will be, I don't know, about $5 or $6 million, I think. So you've got Webb, you've got Cobb, Wood, Junis, and DeSclafani all under contract for next year. So I think you're missing that frontline guy to kind of pair with Webb. And so it's kind of take your pick, whether it's Rodon or Jacob deGrom. Joe Musgrove just signed an extension with San Diego, so he won't be available. But Rodon or deGrom, Jameson Taillon, Sean Manaea, Andrew Heaney, just bring me another frontline arm to pair with Logan Webb, and you can kind of call the rotation good. Maybe pick up spare parts here and there, depth here and there. And I think just like the rotation is mostly fine this year, you could pretty easily put together a mostly fine rotation for next year. Edwin Diaz is out there as a dominant reliever, and I would love to see them sign him. Craig Kimbrell is out there, and hey, Tyler Rogers' twin brother is also going to be a free agent, and I think that makes just too much sense. Why not bring in Taylor Rogers and bring in Edwin Diaz or Craig Kimbrell? And they could do all of this and still have a reasonable payroll. And there's no reason they shouldn't be able to push even higher than what they've been. Like I keep saying, that $162 million-ish should be thought of as disappointing. And yet they could add $100 million for next year's team and still get there. And so why not make these major additions? So it's going to be a big story to follow for the Giants. It's a huge offseason for them. If they mess it up, then the heat is going to get a lot hotter. So coming up in just a minute, we're going to talk about the trade deadline. And the question is, how badly did Farhan misplay the trade deadline? So all of that in just a second. But first, whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools to let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. And again, as I'm always saying, the beauty of this is you can do this from home without having to go into a pressure situation jewelry store. Who wants to do that anymore when you can do this with the modern convenience of online shopping? So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And going on now is the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. Save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right, as promised, we are going to get to more mailbag questions. My dream offseason out of the way. How much of it is realistic? We will have to wait and find out. Candlestick Will says, how badly did Farhan misplay the trade deadline? How did he think this group could compete for a playoff spot after the top teams improved and we didn't? So I've talked about this the last few days, obviously, because the trade deadline came and went and we did full analysis. So I've kind of already given my thoughts on this, but I'll give them again, which is that I don't think the way that I view it isn't that they just decided not to trade Carlos Rodon because solely that they thought they could compete this year. And they were like presented with great offers and they were like, no, thanks. We don't want that. We think we can compete this year. I think that's not at all what happened. What almost certainly happened was that the offers just weren't very compelling. And so you'd be talking about trading a Carlos Rodon for like a marginal player who you figure just doesn't really move the needle for you now or in the future. And at that point, is it worth trading him just for whatever you can get? I don't think so, especially because they can give him the qualifying offer if he opts out. And if he opts in, it's probably bad because it would mean something has gone wrong. But he's probably going to opt out. The only way he's not is if he's hurt, I would say. And you can give him the qualifying offer. And if he signs elsewhere, you get draft pick compensation. And so the trade had to be worth not getting the draft pick compensation plus the extra bonus pool money that comes with an extra draft pick, which would allow you to pay overslot on certain players like they did with Kyle Harrison a couple years ago. And now Harrison is one of the top 20 prospects in baseball, just shooting up the lists and could be a number one starter for the Giants. And so that worked out pretty well. They got that extra bonus pool money from not trading Madison Bumgarner or Will Smith, both of whom the Giants gave the qualifying offer to, and they rejected it, and they got two extra picks out of it and the extra bonus pool money. So your point is well taken, though. I didn't think they had a particularly good deadline. I do low-key like the JD Davis acquisition the more I look at it. Like we just mentioned in our ideal offseason, they basically found another guy who can fill a position that was kind of a position of concern moving forward at third base in JD Davis. And so when you've got a cost-controlled guy making, you know, $2.5 million through arbitration in JD Davis, and he's arbitration eligible for the next couple years, you can kind of forget about that spot and it's not a lot of money committed and therefore it lets you spend in other areas. Because like I said, even if you're like, this team doesn't spend, they only are spending $160 million. Again, that means you've got $100 million to spend in the offseason. And so when you just lock away a guy who you feel like is a good fit for your roster, like JD Davis, I think actually is, then it should allow you to go out and get an Aaron Judge. Like, it should enable them to do something like that. Will they do it? It remains to be seen. But I don't think they should have just made a move for the sake of making a move. But I did feel like some small additions, if they were going to hold on to Peterson and Rodon, maybe a Joey Wendell who wasn't traded, or some bullpen arms, a lot of whom were not traded. So I think that teams were just kind of really tight, whether it was on buying decisions or selling decisions. They just, Giants probably weren't getting great offers, and other teams just weren't accepting great offers from other teams, like the Giants saying, we're not going to give you too much for your mediocre bullpen arm. And so it just didn't happen. And it wasn't just the Giants. There were plenty of teams that were kind of tight with their decisions, as the Giants were. So it wasn't a great deadline, but it also wasn't like a disastrous deadline, I don't think. You're not getting much for rental players, and that was evident by the fact that they didn't trade these guys. And I mentioned the Cubs, and I'll mention them again. They are less in contention than the Giants, and they have one of the top rental players available in Wilson Contreras, and he wasn't traded. That tells you all you need to know, that the offers just weren't good enough for rental players, as Rodon is to be considered. Even though he's got the player option, he's a rental, unless something disastrous happens, which it could, but I don't know, whatever. Anyway, next question comes from Ryan, who says, have you lost faith in the Zaidi Kapler era? And there's no question that some of the faith has been lost this year. And honestly, there's going to be more questions about Kapler that we may be able to get to. I'm not sure what Kapler really has to do with what's gone wrong this year, because I don't know. Like, for example, yesterday, he took out Jacob Junis, who was, we found out later, on an 80-pitch limit, and he was at 79. So, you know, but he makes a move to take out a pitcher, a starter, to bring in a reliever in a big, big spot. Mookie Betts up for the third time. Giants had a one-run lead, two guys on, and Betts homers, and it flips the game around, and the Giants could never recover. But many times this year, we've seen the opposite, where he sticks with the starter, and then the starter gives up a homer, and the score flips, and you wonder, why didn't he take him out? So it's kind of been like, he's done it both ways, and it's backfired both ways. Like, no matter what he's done, it's just kind of not worked. And then all the platooning, I think people misunderstand this. He's not platooning just because it's Gabe Kapler's platoon system. It's that he's been given platoon players. And so when you have Jock Peterson, who is a pure, like, if you look up platoon player in the dictionary, it's Jock Peterson's face that you're going to see. So when you're given Jock Peterson, you platoon Jock Peterson, period. And when you're given Lamont Wade, you platoon Lamont Wade and Austin Slater and Darren Ruff. So the platooning is not like Kapler's fault. It's a more of a roster construction issue. And so I would say for sure that I've lost some faith in the Farhan Zaidi era, but it looks like it may have to do with ownership as well, in terms of their spending just kind of being stagnant and not very high. So anyway, coming up in just a minute, Mike Yastrzemski has not been very good for the Giants this year after a hot start. Is it possible he could be optioned to the minor leagues? Is that even something the Giants can do at this point? We'll get to that in a second. But first, betonline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, as promised, Mike Yastrzemski has not been very good for the Giants, along with almost everybody else, it seems. Lately, he's one of those guys where, like, they become established and you just kind of assume that they're here to stay. However, yeah, he's got minor league options, and I wouldn't rule it out that he could be a guy who gets sent down at some point. He's teetering on being below average offensively. Believe it or not, he's still been, on the whole, slightly above average by weighted runs created plus, hitting .221 with a .316 on base and .483 slugging. So it's just been a struggle for him lately. I mean, major struggle, basically all of June, all of July, and now in August, he just hasn't done anything at all. So the question is from Giants Julie, by the way, who says, do Yaz or Wade have minor league options? And then K.M. McConnell says, Yastrzemski hitless in August, 176 in June, or July, 168 in June. I never know how to pronounce this website, says that he has three options remaining. I myself have been saying they need to DFA La Stella, but I think we're at the point where we need to see Yaz optioned right. So it is a possibility, and he does have the minor league options. To answer Julie's question, Lamont Wade Jr. is out of minor league options. And so they do have a roster crunch coming up. We talked about it yesterday. And Luis Gonzalez can be optioned. Mike Yastrzemski can be optioned. Yermin Mercedes, David Villar, Bryce Johnson, even Austin Slater, also, of course, Joey Bart, and even J.D. Davis. But the guys who are more candidates, I think a DFA of La Stella is possible. Luis Gonzalez being optioned is possible. Yaz, possible. A lot of them are possible. That's just how poorly they've played. You can kind of just make a case for any of them to get sent down. So Wade does not, and that's a problem, because if you're not performing and you just can't be optioned, at some point something has to give. And so I think it could with Wade, so we'll have to wait and see. Next question comes from Lonica, who says, why didn't they go after Joey Gallo like Pence suggested? So I didn't see where Hunter Pence suggested this, but Joey Gallo is a free agent at the end of the year, and their outfield is kind of crowded with guys who are underperforming already. Joey Gallo has underperformed. They've got a lot of left-handed outfielders. And the Giants' left-handed outfielders like Wade and Yastrzemski, and, well, not Jock Peterson, Luis Gonzalez, and, I mean, those are the lefties along with Peterson. Those guys have more club control, and so they could be more future pieces than Joey Gallo would be. Joey Gallo would just be like a 2022 move, and there's no guarantee that it's going to work. And so the Giants already have lefties with some promise, but there's no guarantee it's going to work. But they have a better chance to be future pieces for the Giants. So it makes more sense for Gallo to go to a contending team like the Dodgers versus like giving up prospects. Dodgers gave up a pretty good one to get a guy who may not even help you this year and then very likely would be gone at the end of the year. I'm not sure that made sense for the Giants, given if they were in the race, different story. But they've fallen to below 10% playoff odds, and I'm just not sure it was worth making win-now moves like Gallo, especially when he's unproven in a way, in that he really struggled since the trade to New York. So next question comes from Sandstorm721, who says, what does the non-old guys infield look like in 2023? Let's assume no Brandon Belt or Longoria, and Crawford may be one platooned. Are they in on Turner, Correa, etc., or only to the extent that they've been in on guys like Soto? So I think J.D. Davis is a part of that mix, and he, like I said, could be your third baseman, and Crawford at short. They do still have La Stella under contract, unfortunately, to an extent. I hate to say it, but first base is kind of a position of concern, and when I looked through free agent options, there aren't a lot of great first baseman or third baseman. And so that's why I said, like, ideally for me, you get a guy like Carlos Correa, but I just don't really see that happening. And you play him at third, I guess, for now, and wait until Crawford's contract is up, and then you could put him back at short. I don't necessarily see that happening. So I think bringing Wilmer Flores back kind of helps. And I guess you might just have to piece it together with Davis and Crawford, and I don't know, Eason Diaz maybe gets a look down the stretch here. Dixon Machado probably not going to be a part of that 2023 defense. So that's why I said you got Judge and Nimmo out there. Maybe you kind of go all in on your outfield and still kind of patch it together on the infield, simply because there aren't a lot of great options out there in the free agent market except for Trey Turner, Carlos Correa, and Xander Bogaerts, but they're all shortstops. And from what I understand, they all want to continue to play shortstop. So it's tough to see exactly what they're going to do. But that's why, again, I think JD Davis was an important acquisition and probably a big part of the reason they targeted him is because he can play third. And so it kind of gives you more coverage at a position that was kind of looking like a giant question mark going into 2023 and beyond. And it also is a reason why we may see Evan Longoria back on this club option, because it's a $13 million club option, but it has a $5 million buyout. So it actually is just a $8 million decision for the Giants. And Longoria for 1 year, $8 million, you can kind of talk yourself into it, even though he's been so injury prone the last couple of years. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen today. Now make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspick. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspick, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out a lot. So thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again on Monday. Giants playing a couple games in Oakland between now and then, so hopefully the Giants can win some games. We shall see. So anyway, have a great weekend. Stay locked on Giants.